Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to the Best Hour with your host, Brother T. Here, glad to be back with you guys this morning for lesson number two of A Course in Miracles. So excited that you're online with us this morning. Appreciate you being in and listening in and hanging out. Just wanted to chat a little bit about the workbook lessons versus the textbook this morning. And as I said yesterday in our first episode for this year, that I know that you're probably pretty well versed with A Course in Miracles at this point if you're hanging out and joining here with us on the Course Mastery Blog Talk Radio channel and the Best Hour Radio Station, episode number two for 2020. So glad to be back with you. I think a lot of people ask me, frequently they ask me if, what would be the best way, how should I start in A Course in Miracles? Because there's actually, most people are buying the three editions, or three books in the edition, whatever they're getting, whether it's the Foundation for Inner Peace version currently, or if it's the Course in Miracles original edition from A Course in Miracles Society, that's the CIMS edition. You can get that, you can find that, I want the Black Pearl edition. It's a black book with a pearl string across the cover. You can find that at, I believe it's jcim.net if you want to check that out. And you can actually read it online if you don't have a copy of it. But that's the original Your Text version. And the Your Text version has all of the original scribing that was given to Helen Simon originally, where the Foundation for Inner Peace version, which is the blue book, almost 25% or more has been deleted from the first five chapters or so. And there's some other deletions throughout the textbook. But both of those versions these days have the three books that we talk about, which is the textbook, the primary textbook, which is 600 plus pages. And then the workbook, which is about another 600 pages or so, but it's 365 workbook lessons, and that's what we're going to be covering here this year as we go forward. And then last but not least is the manual for teachers. So a lot of people ask me, all right, I want to start studying A Course in Miracles. Where's the best place to start? Well, I had that same, I was uncertain myself, when I first started, but our teacher, of this work, which is Jesus, who transcribed this work through Helen Schachman. His recommendation is to, whatever your question may be, is to turn within and ask your inner guidance system. Now, again, we refer to that here in the Course in Miracles as the Holy Spirit. And you'll hear me say this again and again, because this is what was actually taken out of the Foundation for Inner Peace version, but it is still there or in the JCIM edition. CIMS edition, the Your Text version, which he says that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. Now, I'm not sure why they took that out, but I will tell you that that's really important. In fact, it's very, very important that we get that. And the reason that it's important that we understand that is because if we keep believing that the Holy Spirit is somewhere outside of us, something separate from us, like another entity, if you will, which is where we've always placed God in our traditional religions. Most of the time, most religions, if you will, most theologies place God outside of the human, somewhere out there, if you will, and that we then have become separate. But he shares this with us in the Your Text version, and that's the reason I personally enjoy studying, and I've studied both of those books. I studied the Foundation for Inner Peace version for years before I discovered the Your Text version. And the reason I really enjoy it is because those things are not taken out there, and you can get a little bit more content there, which some of it certainly is very, very relevant in our study of A Course in Miracles. So in the JCM version, CIMS edition, if you will, the Your Text, the original transcript, he simply says, the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. And that's in the text, right, the textbook. And so when I first started studying this, I really wasn't sure where to start. So I was just kind of trying to follow my inner guidance, you know, or maybe flip a coin, whatever the case may be. But for me, I started with a textbook. And so I tried to do the textbook and the workbook lessons simultaneously. And that kind of worked for me, but I really focused on the textbook in my first year of study. And I actually read it again and again and again. I went through the textbook 5 times in my first year because I kept finding more and more stuff in there, or if you will, I began to really be able to understand it on a deeper and deeper level as I kept continuing to read it. There's always more stuff in there. And when I read it today, it just jumps off the page at me. It's so deeply profound. And I still find new meaning in every sentence, literally almost certainly every paragraph in the textbook. But when people ask me personally, I said, well, you know, follow your inner guidance. How do you feel? Read the textbook and just see how that resonates with you. But I often recommend that, you know, I believe a really good place to start with A Course in Miracles is, in fact, with the workbook. Because the workbook is, well, it's written a little bit more like we speak. You know, our regular conversation here in the Western culture versus Shakespearean iambic pentameter, which is the way the textbook is actually written in that style. And the reason it was written in that style is to help us to, you know, kind of stay plugged in. Maybe read it a little bit slower, and you know, so what does that mean? So one of the things I learned early is when I hear or read the word but in the middle of a sentence, to replace that word with the word only. And that helped me to understand it a little bit more easily as I was reading the textbook. But again, I often recommend that people would start with the workbook lessons, because the workbook lessons really kind of start getting us into a place of, what does this mean? You know, we start raising some real questions about what it's really trying to present. So for me personally, I still today recommend start where your heart takes you. If you start reading the textbook and you find it difficult to grasp or just not really sure exactly what, you know, Jesus is trying to tell us in that book, you know, start with go back to the workbook and do the lessons. And the lessons, while they are not challenging to read, I don't believe in the least, really, they're pretty straightforward. They are challenging in our willingness to accept it because it seems so contrary to what we've come to know about our world and come to believe about how the world presents itself. And as I said yesterday in our lesson yesterday, kind of in our conversation part of our lesson yesterday, that the world is a thought system. The teachings of the world is the thought system of fear, and it is a complete thought system in and of itself. And the teachings of the Holy Spirit is a complete thought system. It's the teaching of truth in and of itself, a complete thought system. And we find that these two thought systems are really, while they are complete within themselves, actually opposite of each other. One is the teaching of fear and guilt, the teaching of the world, the ego system, if you will, the ego thought system. And the other one is the teaching of truth. The teaching of truth is the teaching of love. And in love, there is no judgment. So there's no judgment. God gave you free will. He didn't give you free will to judge you. God said, you have free will. Do what you will with your free will, with the idea that you could have a thought system or have a belief system or have a perception different than truth, which is what the ego's concept or the ego's thought system is about. So I find it really instructive for me personally to go back and forth and study all this. A couple of years ago, it was actually on the Blog Talk channel here back in 2013 and early 2014. I was actually reading a couple of pages a day of the textbook, and then I would read the lesson for the day. But I'm not going to do that this year. I really want to focus this year on the lessons as we're getting through it this year. And our episodes are only going to be about half an hour. And again, I will say, hey, thanks so much for joining me this morning. I appreciate it. I see there's several people that have dialed in this morning and are listening live. You can also listen live on blogtalkradio.com/CourseMastery. And so if you want to just listen on your computer at any point in time rather than your phone, if you're traveling, the phone is a great way of doing that. And if you have any comments or if you want to share some thoughts or questions with me, you can reach me on my Facebook page is facebook.com/CourseMastery. And we'll start looking for comments there. And if you have questions or something, and I'll also create an email for us at some point that I'll post up here so you guys can find me there as well. And our dial-in number is 563-999-3547. But the subscription I have right now is only just a few slots for call-ins, and I will set it up so that you can even raise your hand eventually, and we can have an interactive conversation if you desire to do that, and we can answer questions and have a conversation live on air, which would be a lot of fun. So today, let's jump into lesson two. And again, if we're just studying the lessons, you're going to get a tremendous amount of that. If you find the textbook challenging, don't beat yourself up. Don't believe for a minute that, everybody else is getting it and you're not getting it or whatever, or this is complicated or whatever. And what I really try to teach in my classes and the work that I do in A Course in Miracles is simply to lay a foundation for all students so that they can find that the book really begins to speak to them. And that was one of my earliest challenges, was to get through it to the point that I understood it enough so that I had a foundational understanding of what the course was attempting to teach me, so that in that, when I would read it, it becomes the teacher. And that's really how Jesus tells us he wrote the Course in Miracles for us. It was so that it becomes the teacher. I do, however, believe that it's good to have a mentor. I've had several mentors in my journey through A Course in Miracles, which I guess at this point has been well over 15 years. I've been teaching A Course in Miracles now for almost 10 years. And I just love the teaching and I love the textbook. But the workbook lessons are in and of themselves very, very instructive. So we'll do that for the next few, for this year, we're going to go through these lessons, but we will have some conversation, certainly. And I'm looking forward to having my technical skills up to level so that we can have some interactive conversations here as well. Okay, lesson number two. I have given everything I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place, all the meaning that it has for me. Let's take a good deep breath. Let's let this sink in again for just a moment. I'm going to read it again. And remember now, yesterday's lesson was, nothing I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place, means anything. Now, that lesson is challenging because it's saying that nothing means anything. What does that mean? Right? And these lessons often are tied together. One leads to the next one. Okay. So this one says, I have given everything I see in this room, on the street, from this window, in this place, all the meaning that it has for me. The exercises with this idea are the same as those from the first one. Begin with the things that are near you and apply the idea to whatever your glance rests on. Then increase the range outward. Turn your head so that you include whatever is to either side. So if possible, turn around and apply the idea to what was behind you. Remain as indiscriminate as possible in selecting subjects for its application. Do not concentrate on anything in particular, and don't attempt to include everything in an area or you will introduce strain. Merely glance easily and fairly quickly around you, trying to avoid selection by size, brightness, color, material, or relative importance to you. Take the subjects simply as you see them. Try to apply the exercise with equal ease to a body or a button, a fly or a floor, or an arm or an apple. The sole criterion for applying the idea to anything is merely that your eyes have lighted on it. Make no attempt to include anything particular, but be sure that nothing is specifically excluded. Let's take another good deep breath. And as we look around, wherever we may be, we simply tell ourselves, I have given everything, all that I see before me, all the meaning that it has for me. I have given everything I see in this room all the meaning that it has. Everything I see out this window, I'm looking out the window, or in this place, all the meaning that it has for me. Now you might be asking yourself, okay, if nothing means anything, but everything I see has a name. In fact, if you're in your home, most likely everything you see is something that you've chosen to be in your environment. As I'm looking around my office this morning, I really don't see anything. Well, maybe one or two things that my wife might have added to my book collection as an example, but most of everything was brought into my experience because it resonated with me, my vibration. It resonated with my thought system. It resonated with what I desired. And because it resonated with me, it has become a part of my experience. And when we look around our space, if we're at home or even in our office, we'll see little things on our desks, right? Pictures, a favorite pencil, whatever it might be. And those things resonate with us as individuations of God, you know, as individuals, they resonate. And we do, in fact, yes, right? We can kind of begin to get that, right? That we've given everything the meaning, if you will, the value. We've given it value based on what we like and or don't like. And that doesn't also include the people in our lives, right? If somebody really resonates with us, and when we're searching for our quote unquote soulmate, if you will, if we're looking for a partner in life, right, or we've chosen a partner in life, wherever the case may be, one of the first things we tend to look for, and when those relationships are budding and beginning to develop, is commonality. Does this person have a lot in common with me? Do they have the same desires that I do? Are they moving in the same direction, you know, in their material life, right? Or their physical life, or their emotional life, or their financial life? Do we have commonality? We're giving everything all the meaning that it has for us. Because whatever ties into us, if you will, relates, that we can relate to, is something that we feel comfortable with. Because guess what? We like ourselves. The ego, in fact, right, is attempting and desirous of validating itself based on what other people outside of us, seriously, think about it, based on what other people outside of us value. And if their value system aligns with ours, well, we've got a new friend, right? We like this person. And in the reverse, if someone really values something that we find abhorrent and don't want to have anything to do with, well, we don't like the person, right? When I say we, I'm really referring to the ego self, the small self, not the true self. As we've said already this morning, we, the ego self, is giving everything all the meaning that it has for me, right? So this is the small, separated mind, believing itself, literally, to be separate. And so, wow, we feel safer, much safer, if we are surrounded by and we collect people and things that resonate with us, because that is a validation. So we're looking outside of ourselves for validation of the self. And this is the thought system of the world. Now, could we say that that thought system is founded in fear? Well, absolutely. I mean, that kind of is self-explanatory, you know, once we kind of start to see how we put the pieces, how the ego mind puts these pieces together. Now, this is all unconscious. Certainly, it's not something we think about. We look at something very simple that we now see in our home or in our environment, and why did we choose it? We chose it because, well, the color really, we resonated with the color, or we resonated with the shape, or we resonated with the function, or we saw an exchange of value. It's like, you have this in my life, then this is going to be something that brings, convenience, or brings joy. Or maybe if somebody else looks at this and they like it, then they're looking at me going, oh, well, I like that, so I like this person. Remember that ego is always looking outside of itself for validation. Right? Our first lesson, nothing that I see in this room, in this place, from this window, has any meaning. Nothing that I see means anything. And so after the second lesson, we can simply say, if we combine these two together, nothing that I see before me has any meaning, means anything other than the meaning I have given. And so now, when we hear the statement, all power under heaven and earth is yours. That kind of ties together. All power under heaven and earth is yours to give everything all the meaning that it has. You get to choose. Good or bad? Valuable or worthless? Based on my what? My perception. My perception. Where this course is taking us is to a place where we begin to examine our perceptions. And if we begin to see that we have indeed a choice, and that there is indeed a guide within us, capital G guide, capital T teacher, capital F friend, capital C comforter, capital H Holy Spirit, higher self, the Holy Spirit, you and God are one, and you and the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. That part of your mind, if we were to expand the conversation just a little bit this morning and say, there is a part of my mind, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than my right mind, that is always and forever not asleep, not in illusion, not misperceiving, only in the mind of knowing, and is never believing or knowing or thinking itself. In fact, we could even say, ooh, we're getting really profound or deep here, that it's really not even a thinking self. It is the channel, the voice, capital V voice for God. The thoughts of God are made available to us. So when we begin to see that there is this inner system, this inner guidance, I don't want to say system, it's a thought system, but it's an inner guidance. It's a bigger part of us, the true part of us, the true self, that does not judge, and it does not fear, knows no confusion about innocence or guilt. And in its knowing, capital K knowing, if we could get in touch with that mind, if we can become as one in with that mind, so it should be available to us, right? If it's nothing more than our right mind, it should definitely be available to us. Then if we can begin to accept that as the premise for our awakening, that the small self, the ego mind, and I'm not trying to discount it. We're not kicking it to the curb, but we can actually shift our awareness. That's where the power comes in. We have the ability to focus our awareness. We have the ability to become self, capital S, self-aware. It's within us, within the very center of our being, available to us, and will guide us and communicate. A lot of times, as I said yesterday, we kind of notice it at first, if you will, or consider it at first as well. I don't think anybody's really ever argued it, that they don't really realize that they have an intuitive self. We all hear that little voice or that little nudge or that little twinkle of a thought that says, you know, do this or don't do this or whatever. It's like this little guidance, and we choose whether or not we listen to it. Of course we do, right? We choose whether or not we listen to it, and that's okay. Because we have, guess what, free will, right? But when we're listening to the other voice, and the other voice, the other thought system really is the ego mind. And it also, if we could look at the Holy Spirit, even in a stretch and say, well, it would make sense to me that the Holy Spirit is separate from me. you could actually look at the ego as separate from you too. You're simply in the chooser between which one of those voices, literally the small V voice, capital V voice for God, Holy Spirit, or the small V voice for ego, that you're choosing to listen to in every moment. But once we listen to that, once we dial it in and once we tune into it, it's a new voice. It's a new thought system. Now, I'm not saying it's going to sound different. It's still your voice, right? Still your voice. In our mind, in our head, so to speak. We're not really in our head, but we believe we are. But we could say, yes, that voice within me is just me. It's still me. It's me talking to me. And in truth, absolutely it is. But we're just the chooser. We're just shifting. So one voice is a voice that's giving everything I see in this room, from this street, from this window, in this place, in my life, all the meaning that it has. And there is absolutely, if nothing in lesson one says nothing has any meaning at all, really, anything I see is meaningless, means nothing really, except the meaning I'm giving it. And the meaning I'm giving it is coming from this self, this ego, I, small, separated self. Then, wow, I'd like to know what this really is. What is it that I'm really seeing? What is really before me? That the higher self of myself, right? What is that self seeing? As we go further in the textbook and as we go further in the workbook, we're going to be talking and discussing the holy instant. And the holy instant is just simply, and one of my mentors calls it the two-step, but the holy instant is simply taking that good deep breath. When I look at something and I say, okay, well, this is a box, or this is a stapler, or I'm looking around my room, this is a jar with peanuts in it, right? I'm giving everything all the meaning that it has, but what's the truth? So now I'm going back into my inner self. I'm going into dialogue with my higher self, and I'm actually having a conversation with myself. Yes, I am. And I'm simply asking, what's the truth? And then the third step, if you will, take that good deep breath. Step one, make the connection and ask the question, what is the truth? And the third step is simply to listen and allow that voice to begin to inform us of what everything is. Most often, when I exercise that practice, what I'm getting back is that most everything that I have, that I see before me, really is not, it's really not important. I can give it meaning, and I can enjoy the value that it brings into my life, the ease, the comfort, the simplicity, the convenience of whatever I have that I've given my awareness to and made an exchange of value with. And I can enjoy it. It's great. It's fantastic. In fact, it's resonating with me. It's aligned with me. I could even say it's benefiting me. It's loving me, because all there is love. All that I see is love, truly, in truth. But when I can see through the eyes of my higher self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than my right mind, I really can begin to feel and connect and merge in that vibration. As A Course in Miracles, the objective is to remove the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of love. Imagine that everything that's in your environment right now resonates with you simply because it does, in fact, love you. Because you are a divine, perfect child of God. You. Absolutely you. And that small self might tell us that, that's not true, you know, I don't believe that, I'm not sure, I know I've got all these foibles and, you know, things I need to work on, and then I just remember, two thought systems, my friends, two thought systems. One of those thought systems doesn't know the truth, and the other one does indeed know the truth. And the truth is, as I shared with you yesterday, which was shared with me by Jesus through Paul Tuttle, as he was channeling Rajpoor, who ultimately revealed himself as Jesus, saying, dear brothers and sisters, you are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. and must see yourself therefrom. Because that's what the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, sees in you. The Holy Spirit knows, in fact, who and what you are. You are God's perfect child of love. Thank you so much for being with me today. This is Brother T. Just so happy to be with you and spend these few moments together in the blessing of this energy of love. It's truly my honor to be with you. I hope you'll join me again. We'll be back tomorrow morning, same time, lesson 3. God bless. Have a wonderful, beautiful day. I love you.